position except for senior management at the GST and NRF, which is to follow through on the weaknesses identified in supply chain processes, as well as predetermined objectives. Just to go through specifically for the basis for our evaluation of the portfolio committee, we feel that the portfolio committee provides assurance because the oversight role in terms of the budget the review process and the review of the annual reports were quite relevant and assurance was provided. Follow-up on progress made by the entities regarding the core audit outcomes, recommendations made specifically relating to audit matters, and the committee's performance in terms of their legislative requirements and robust engagement with the department and the entities and of a high quality. I think I'll be handing over to Faisal now. With regards to performance information, as mentioned earlier, that there were no material findings for performance information at all of GST, the National Research Foundation, CSR, and HSRC. Reliability, though, at the department and National Research Foundation, findings were avoided because adjustments were made to the reported financial to the performance information from the misstatements that were identified through the audit process. I'll hand over to
Faisal
to continue.
Thank you, Zina. We then move over in terms of the compliance with legislation and the quality of the financial statements that were submitted. As you can see from the slide, for the current year, we have the expenditure management non-compliance that Zina previously related to. With regards to the 30 days, and that not all the creditors were paid within 30 days. As a result, the accruals and the payables at year end increased quite tremendously. Those were where it shows in the financial statements for more than 30 days. From the 24 million between the accruals and payables, at least 17 million is more than 30 days. The main reason for this was that invoices received were not being processed timely by the project management. Not releasing invoices for payment, as there was no system in place, and there was not adequate proper tracking by the program and finance unit with regards to the invoices being received. Subsequent to year end, the department did introduce an invoice tracking system, and hopefully this will then resolve the issue with ensuring that the payments are made within 30 days. What's happening is that the program managers receive the invoices, they verify it, but they held back from it or they not process it to send it to finance to make sure that it is for payment. With regards to, as you can see, the previous year, the 13-14, where previously indicated that we even had a non-compliance, that was specifically around procurement and contract management and the human resources that were happening in 13-14, which had then subsequently been resolved in the 14-15 and 15-16. There's a lot of improvement training that has taken place within the department to ensure that they improve on the supply chain management, and we've seen good improvement there, therefore even reducing the irregular expenditure that was incurred from 13-14 to quite a lesser amount for the current year, although there's still some findings with regards to non-compliance. It's not material enough for us to include it in the as a non-compliance for the current finance. For the human resource management, it had to do with the verification process in 13-14 that was not been properly done. This has been subsequently resolved adequately, and we never had any issues with regards to any human resources from the 15-16. The quality of the submitted financial statements, as you can see, that there was no material adjustments that had to be made once the financial statements were submitted to us on the 31st of May, which regarded any stuff, but did have corrections that had to be done. They were not material enough. And most of the corrections that we picked up from the GST and NRF were more on disclosure notes where amounts were incorrect, but not material enough. So therefore, be quite happy that the quality of submitted financials on 31st was accurate. So, we moved over to unauthorized, irregular, and fruitless and wasteful expenditure. You can see the fruitless and wasteful expenditure is with less than million rand, and give more detail with regards to the fruitless and wasteful expenditure. It's more relating to late payments, missing off flights, issues that the stuff there that results in the fruitless and wasteful expenditure. With regards to the irregular expenditure, you can see from the 13-14, the reduction from 32 to 25 to 12 million for the current year. The reduction is mainly specific, the irregular is mainly specific around the GST, where on the GST, it's about a million rand irregular expenditure within GST. No three codes were received for during the quotation process. Deviations were being approved, yet it was impractical, yet it was possible to have went out. And there was one where there was no proper SARS tax clearance certificate. Of the 12 million, 6.5 million relates to the NRF, with similar issues around quotations and deviations not being adequately documented or approved there. Of the 6.5 million, we had one contract with a value of 4.8 million, were procured without competitive bids. A specification was based on the brand, then performance requirement of the product. So what did they went out on the stuff there for a specific brand to do the stuff there. And what the regulations do state that you cannot go out for a brand, but you need to go out for what your product requires. And based on that, you determine what's the best product for the stuff there. By going out on a brand, you're limiting the other brands or other products in there to even compete for that particular stuff. So of the 6.4.8 relate to one of that, the stuff there. As you can see, the irregular, the most common from the irregular, the stuff there for the current financial year was around minimum three quotations not being obtained and the competitive process was not followed. They were including as deviations, but we felt that there was adequate reasons for them to have went out and rather had the deviations approved, and it would not have in accordance with the deviation regulations. With regards to the follow-up actions for irregular and fruitless and wasteful expenditure, the way we've identified and the department and the entities identified any irregular fruitless expenditure, there was investigations taking place to determine if there was anybody that's held liable for proper consequence management taking place. With regards to the irregular expenditure, what to give the subject, the goods and the services were received. So there was no any fraud or the stuff there. It's just the method in proving the deviations were not accurate, but we further looked into it to find out, did they receive the goods and services? We agreed the goods and the services were received, and they were received within the stuff there. So one of the areas for improvement that we've included in our QA control, specifically around ESP and NRF on the supply chain management, is the documenting of the deviations, the full reason as to what was the reason as to them going out for a deviation and not following the normal prescription in terms of emergency or sole provider. And most of them is around sole providers that we have there. So when we look at the information, we even get the same feeling as the approval process of the board, whoever it may be, that they look at it, so it should be adequately documented so we can come to the same conclusion that management has taken, but we were quite excited that all the information, all the goods and services were received by the department and its entities. Root causes, follow-up on commitments, and pro's recommendations. The main root cause for defining the regression within the DSD is slow response by management. We've got 50%, 2 out of 4, specifically around DSD and NRF. DSD with regard to the compliance issue that we previously highlighted, not paying creditors within 30 days. And for the DSD and NRF is around the performance information, in that we've identified misstatements in one of the programs that we've audited, where the figures therein were not correct. We did a lot of work on the stuff there, and they had to then go and adjust those figures to what is the correct figure. thus resulting in them receiving material adjustments on the performance information, which then they managed to avoid any findings on by making those adjustments. So, and the other is the ineffective review of monitoring compliance with legislation, specifically around the 30 days by the senior management. So what we felt that management should do to ensure that they can turn this around and make sure that these issues are not, the regular monitoring of action plans to ensure that they are identified at rest to avoid repeat findings and continue, that there is a proper internal control of the result, but it must constantly be monitored and adhered to by all employees, and then they should roll it down to employees, that internal audit as well get involved with regards to the financial statements, just don't have an overlook, especially with the PSD, overlook on the result, but to start looking at the accuracy of the disclosure notes that's being addressed throughout the year, not wait for the financial statements at year end, because it's one of the areas of concern where we've picked up that the department do end up making mistakes, although not material, but if not dealt with adequately, can end up in a problem going forward. And it's disclosure notes is a concern for us, that they need to make sure that they do enough work around the information that's coming through on the disclosure notes, that the finance department give adequate training and guidance to the project managers in terms of what information is needed for disclosure notes, and that internal audit also assist with reviewing either on a monthly or quarterly basis information that will flow into the disclosure to see that they are accurate and it is supported by reliable and adequate information. And that where if any non-compliance, that officials be held accountable for any non-compliance. With regards to the commitments made by the Honourable Minister, during the prior year, we've highlighted certain issues with the Minister, of which she said that she will require a detailed plan to address all the findings and quarterly updates to the plan. The PSD provide necessary support to public entities. And with regards to SF, there was some issues with regards to SF that was stuck, and to have a turn and to have meetings. All those commitments that were there in the prior, the minister did address it. There was regular updates being provided to the minister, and there was support being, she specifically told the finance department to start assisting with regards to SF and to have more meetings with the public entities to ensure that they provide the necessary support there. We met with the minister on the 18th of March, and we discussed the audit progress and with the minister and the progress of the implementation of the commitments that were followed up. Also that we've, during quarterly, we do send briefing notes to the minister to inform her of any concerns that we may have, any updates, any progress. So the letters are being sent to the minister and those actions and stuff. For the current year, what we did with the minister during one of our briefing notes that we've just up there is that the minister to provide an update on a quarterly basis on the implementation of the audit action plans that are based on the audit findings throughout the management report, the root cause of the implementation reported by the AGSA, not only with any findings by us, but any findings of internal audit committees and other governance structures where there's any findings, that the management should update the minister on a quarterly basis on progress of these commitments, whether they've been finalized or they not have been implemented. We've also had some proposed commitments for the portfolio committee, that the portfolio committee to request management to provide feedback on the implementation and progress of the audit action plan, or the action plan to address weaknesses during the quarterly reporting, so they can provide the portfolio committee with update to the implementation and progress of those action plans. And the portfolio committee must request management to provide quarterly feedback on status of the key controls, those deficiencies, those yellow pages and records, how they've addressed those and stuff, and what work have they been doing in regards to ensuring that they can turn around the yellow pages and it is identified in the key controls. Entities in the portfolio not audited by the AGSA. There are three entities within the portfolio that's not audited by the AGSA in terms of Section 4.3 of the Public Audited Act. They appoint their own auditors. We just concur with the appointment of the sure independence until such time that the AG feels it is necessary to take back any of these audits. They will then be audited by the private audit firm. What we do as a result, we just provide guidance to these audit firms with regards to the performance information and compliance and the way they report, so that we can ensure consistency in terms of reporting in the annual report and in our general report and to do this update, so they even cover up the performance information and compliance, which is not normally covered within the private sector. With regards to the three entities, TIA, they managed to maintain the clean audit outcome from the 13-14 financial year, as well as SANSA, South African National Space Agency, they managed to maintain the clean audit outcome. Academia of Science of South Africa, they managed to get unqualified opinion with finding on compliance with legislation. As you can see, it's the same as 14-15, but 13-14 was clean. So what happened here, Academia of Science of South Africa is a very small entity, I think it's about a 30-somewhat million budget. In the previous one, the 13-14 financial statements, they were only audited in terms of their financial statements, and they were not audited in terms of any performance information and compliance. From the 15-16 financial statements, we looked at the academic, the preference looked at the Academy of Science, the SF Act, and one of the provisions too specifically requires them to comply with the provisions of the PFMA. Now, SF is not a listed public entity, so the PFMA does not become applicable to them per se. But as the Act does state that they need to comply with the provisions of the PFMA, the question is which provisions of the PFMA do they need to comply with. They then did the audit in terms of looking at which provisions. It came down to the stuff, but what we looked at is the more the stuff provisions of the stuff there would be regarding public entities, as they would be under listed public entities, specifically around your Schedule 3A public entities, and the supply chain management, which is a requirement. And we picked up issues if we start looking at certain provisions of the PFMA, which is applicable, which would be applicable to them. We started picking up issues that did not comply with those stuff there. There has been improvement from the previous financial year, but they're still having challenges with regards to that, specifically around the supply chain management issues of the PFMA. Therefore, we've got the non-compliance to the SF Act, in that the SF Act did not comply with the Section 2 of the SF Act, in relation to not complying with the provisions of the PFMA as required there. Therefore, the non-compliance within the Academy of Science of South Africa has been reported. Thank you, Chair. This is a very high level, the audit outcomes for the portfolio for science and technology.
Thank you very much for the briefing. Just a pity on the regression, mainly based on the payment, the 30-day payment in time frame. And thanks for also bringing to the fore the responsibility of the portfolio committee and our commitment to continue scrutinizing and ensuring that the department is compliant and the budget that is passed is used for whatever that was presented as the HDPs. I will give members an opportunity to do my presentation. Another foreign one from Arthur Nazir.
Thank you, Chairperson. Just one question. I know that the Department of Science and Technology do make a grant to the Medical Research Council, you know, to a considerable amount, but I don't see it here. So will you follow that money when you do that entity of the Department of Health? I think that's a proper entity of the Department of Health. And will you then make sure that that money that was sent from DSD into an entity of another department were wisely and correctly spent?
Thank you, Chairperson, and thank you for the briefing. I know that you're only reporting on your findings, and I must say, I think any department would be very happy to have an audit report like this, despite the certain issues that they may have. It's still a very good audit report and a good audit outcome. But I think the real problem that I have with this is because of the department's mandate. It's always going to be good. It's always going to be good because we are dealing here with elite sciences. With a very small constituency, we concerned with SKA, that's always going to be good. No one else can fault it, no matter what. But I think if we were to change this department's mandate to address issues that affect the lives of more substitutes. So very few people that are focused on science and technology as such. But if it were to address or be the mandate were to change to have to focus on issues that concern more South Africans, electrification, water provision, education of farmers from desalination plants that we want them to build. And I think if those real issues were to become the department's mandate, we'd see them have, I think that could be a real challenge to the department. So I don't expect anything less from the Department of Science and Technology given the mandate that they have currently. They're always going to have a good audit. So, and I think it is up to us as the committee to make sure that we push the boundaries for this department, that it addresses the more serious issues. Because it's always going to come out looking and smelling like roses.
it's up to this
committee to actually be more focused on the issues that affect more people in this country. You know,
it's not on the agenda.
But it's not on the agenda, but it's a comment from my side that you can't fault this. You can't fault the department on this. I mean, it's, if you're going to fault on the one bit of where they didn't pay invoices on time, it's going to really be nitpicking. Because I don't care who doesn't get paid. I mean, it's probably some rich person. Yes, like this department really does work with small businesses that have not amassed huge amounts during the very wonderful years for them. So I'm not going to nitpick over that, but like I said, it's a very good audit outcome. But it's always going to look like this given the department's mandate. Thank you very much, Chief.
Thank you,
Noble.
Natalie?
No, I have no comment, but just to pick up on always a challenge or a view that is presented probably in a different meeting, we might need to engage on the issues that Honorable Borsa has raised. But the information provided, I think, it will help us to take the discussions with the department.
Thank you very much, Honourable Members. Before I give you to respond, I think also we cannot, as this department can't duplicate the mandates of other departments. But we probably to look at this, how this science, as you say, impact on ordinary people. Is 1 week science week enough to motivate more young people to be interested in science and stuff like that? So those are the issues, but as we all agree that it's a discussion for another day. And also the 30-day payment, probably you don't pay at all costs when other requirements are not included for payments, but be as it may, there needs to be compliance with what the AG needs. I just want to find out on the on slide 8. Where it says DST and NRF managed to avoid findings on reported performance only because they corrected material statements identified through the audit process. Why that only? Why vacancies managed to avoid findings on reported performance because they corrected material.
That's what they're supposed to do, to correct.
Yeah.
Unless if they're trying to say, sorry, Chair, unless if they're trying to tell us something that the department is not cooperating.
That's why I want to know the underlying factor of the only. And I think, as correctly said, this report will enable the follow committee to make follow up and also on its oversight on issues and I think one of the other things that is important that needs to be done is not to lose track of what we are actually oversighting. Is some of the issues need to be constant agenda items, even if so that we remind ourselves and remind the department that we still need employees. Also, I think if there are recommendations that eventually become resolutions of the House, we need to ensure that we put dates. So if you say you want a particular report by the 31st of May, or to be specific on that date, so that then we are able to measure what our commitment is. I wanted to find out on slide 17, is it possible for us to get a copy of the commitment by the department, by the minister, so that it forms part of our oversight and follow-up? Okay, you can respond to...
Chairperson, I missed one. And
so
I've
you
raised
have
it.
To come here, face me, and then you might remember. You wanted to see that. What you're doing, and then you reminded
me. Chairperson, and I raised it with one of the public enterprises as well in their, in the audit briefing. There's a, on I think, which page is this? This page, where it gives a status of key controls, leadership, financial and performance management, governance. Now...
This one?
Yeah, that one. Now those things where you determine that they're good, you know, what is the criteria you use to actually determine? Is it just say, oh, okay, fine, is it very, you know, I think this is good, you know, so what are the criteria there? Because, you know, there's got to be, I mean, for me, effective leadership is a very, you know, it's very subjective. I could think I'm an effective leader, other people think I'm just whatever. So, yeah, so there has to be some sort of criteria when it comes to determining these things. Thank you. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you, honorable members. With regards to the questions and issues that were raised, I'll respond to them. The first one is on the Medical Research Council and the grant that has been submitted to the Medical Research Council. I think for the current financial year was close to about 63 million that was transferred to the Medical Research Council. With respect to our audit, what we normally do, we normally select a sample of the grants, and if it falls, we test the accuracy of that 63 million that was set up. In terms of following the RAND, what we do there also, there's different projects that could relate to that 63 million, which there's agreements that were signed between the Medical Research Council and the Department of Science and Technology. We then look at any of the completed contracts at the end of the year to see if there's any accrued department revenue or any money that was not spent that has to be paid back over to the department. So we look at the accuracy and completeness of that amount, because that amount will then fall within the financial statements. If with regards to the TST, they do have project managers in place there. That norm normally receives updated financial statements, they receive progress reports, and if it does fall within one of our samples that we selected for performance, if they're reporting on that performance information of how it has been, we then audited that. On the other side, the Department of Health, it's one of the entities within the Department of Health, it will be audited by the Auditor General, and then they will even determine the accuracy and completeness and of the financial statements and the performance information as well, in terms if there's any specific requirements that either being reported by the Department of Health for that specific grant that was received on their side. But the financial statements are audited by the Auditor General, and it is then received by the department, and they will then include it within there, the stuff there. So in terms, it just depends, because there's a lot of contracts, we don't specifically on one, the stuff there, we, if it falls within our, one of our samples, then we will then look at it more closer in terms of the information, what's being reported by them in terms of the numbers, whatever it is. Is it accurate? Is it in the, is the supporting documentation reliable enough for the amounts that's being reported in it as such? Honorable Chair, with regards to the word only, I think, yes, that's a little bit harsh on our side to have put that word only, because based on the prior experience with the department and its entities, any misstatements that we do identify on the performance information, we normally go through quite a process with the department and entity to discuss the accuracy of that information, why this information is misstated, how we just up, and once they agree, they do normally make the, they do make the corrections, not even normally, they do make the corrections, unless it's an immaterial amount of very small, which makes it up, but 99% of the time, all those corrections are made, so the word only, I think, is a little bit harsh in the sentence they do the corrections there. With regards to the dates and as to what I think, what can happen with the committee can start there, it's during the quarterly reports that the department provide feedback, is that they give an update with regards to the action plans that they've had prepared and how far they were with regards to implementing those action plans and whether the control surrounding the sense has been adequately dealt with. But something that we can engage with further to see what dates we can assist in it as such. With regards to the commitments, we do have a more detailed list of commitments that we got with the minister, with the senior manager, internal audit, and I can make that available to the company secretary, which will even assist the portfolio committee to look at the type of commitments that they have committed to, and I can make that page available through to the committee secretary. Then the one with the last one with regards to the key controls and the green faces and how do we go about assessing. The main stuff there is key controls. It forms part of our audit in that we need to look at the controls that are in place. And most of the findings that we start looking at, it's throughout the audit process. But what we do on a quarterly basis, we've got the checklist in place to just which we go through with management, and we've asked management in internal audit to complete the checklist as well on the daily key controls that are in place and how well are those controls being implemented. And then we have discussions on a quarterly basis to determine if those controls are being implemented, and we do want to test on these controls to the stuff there, specifically around, and then we'll see the most of the, once it starts changing, is specifically around the findings, that once we start identifying findings on the audit. And those findings are normally reported in the management report. And when we discuss, we then inform management if there's a breakdown in control, where, what's the root cause of that control being broke down, and we give them recommendations there. And depending on the number of findings and how significant those findings, how those findings, if it could have a material, it may not be a material now, but it can have a material. If not, those controls are not adequately addressed, we then change our colors of faces depending on what our findings have been adequately been dealt with or whatever it is. And most of the green faces is that in those environments that we picked up, we never really find any significant findings to be reported in the management report. We may pick up one, two issues of a small misstatement here, there, but and those controls were adequately then picked up by management and sort of also, we were quite happy that the leadership has taken responsibility, and it were not that much findings. With regards to the oversight responsibility, the yellow faces moving there, was specifically around the corrections made on or the findings on supply chain management, where we're still picking up those findings, although we know management has taken a lot of steps and a lot of initiatives in terms of training, providing guidance to the staff in it, but there is still findings that we're picking up on those there. Therefore, we still put it as still concerning, if not yet adequately addressed. Same with the performance information, in that we had some adjustments that were made, and therefore there's control weaknesses that were there with the information to collate that information, the accurate information to process that information. We found issues there in that, and with the DST, the action plans, specifically that we found some repeat findings on the controls, the same controls. So it's more throughout all the process, we look at the controls that would have led to the finding. If there was no finding in it, we were quite happy, and we did our checklist with management and did some testing on certain of the controls, we then assess it as a grade.
Do you want to add? Is there any other question from the members? So we would like to thank the Office of the AG for the brief and the pointers on where the committee should concentrate on. We'll definitely do that, and we will work out our own also a checklist to ensure that all these issues are being addressed with specific time frames to help us to track those. But we also appreciate the fact that since this audit outcome, this constant engagement with the department shows that there are corrective measures in relation to the issues that led to the slight regression. So the introduction of the financial or payment tracking system and so forth is a step in the right direction. But we continue monitoring that to ensure that the department goes back to green. Thank you very much. Unless there's something you want to tell us. Okay. No, thank you very much. Honourable members, the other issue that is the other matter that is I just request to circulate the copy of the program so that members can just play. Do you all have a copy of the program? For the 10th?
Yes, we do. We got it in that one. No, the computer thing that it opens up. Okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes.
Just the brief on the 10 program, but next week we'll have a meeting with the department, and also we'll have a meeting with the NACT Sunshine NRM on the annual report and financial statements.
Wasting of business.
We'll meet on Wednesday, and again we'll meet on Thursday to meet with other entities, CSIR, ASAP, HRC, and SACNAS on the annual report also, and the audited financial statement, and then again on Friday, so it will be 3 days. We will also consider the committee the PWR. And then the following week, we will meet, because of the departments that have briefed the committee on the IKS bill, we have not had a presentation from Arts and Culture, so we have that that brief. briefing from the department, the venue thereof will be informed thereof, including the meeting of the 21st. And then the week of the 31st of October to the 4th of November, we will bring in the state law advisor on the legality and the drafting issues relating to the IKS bill, and also the briefing on the submission that we have received. And then the week of 7 to 11 of November, we will have the day with the public hearing, whether the committee says they would like to have the committee in three different provinces, especially in the rural provinces, that is the KZN, Northwest, Limpopo, and probably the following week in Northern Cape, and then the last one being here in Parliament. I know it will be a tedious process. And then the week of 21 to 22 November, we have PST to respond to the input made at the public hearing and see if there are any other further hearings to come input emanating from the hearings. And then the last week of November to the 2nd of December, deliberate on the proposed amendments and finalization of the bill. That will make our term a very hectic one. But as we always told, legislation also takes precedence. So we have legislation in front of us. So I think the preliminary public hearings that we've had were very interesting and empowering also, and eye-opening on the prescript and the expectation of the bill. And I think on others, we will at some stage, probably early next year, have some joint meetings with the committees that have got the IKS bill affecting their existing things, especially trade and industry, that's one, and environment, so that, as you said, you want to have one smooth type of legislation and also a one-stop shop. So we will do that. So I'm not sure, members, do you need to make an input on this program?
I was in principle it's okay. When you said it's going to be the heavy, I said, oh my God, maybe the other thing we just agree that no, it will not happen. But I think on the 9th, if we can on page 2, if we can have Limpopo there because it's open, and unless if there is a specific reason why we have an open day there, but I think after KZN we can go and sleep maybe in Rustenburg or where we can sleep in Rustenburg and have the hearing on Tuesday. And after that hearing, sleep in Polokwane and have a hearing on Wednesday. And instead of having a day, I don't know what we will be doing on that day which is open, whether we'll just move around and or we'll be doing something, I don't know. I thought if we can have it that way, it will be much better. Thanks.
Can I, Chairperson, can I just ask, Parliament is surely in session that week, so we must just take that into consideration, and I don't know whether, you know, there's any three-line whoops on that week, because that will be busy. The medium-term budget policy is on Wednesday the 26th, so that will be a busy time for Parliament, November, to conclude many matters. So I think we should just look at that before we will ask the Secretariat to look at this. And can I just ask, it appears that Parliament is not in session next week, like this week. So there's no sessions for Parliament next week. Okay, then it's fine with regard to the program.
Thank you very much. I don't have a problem with that. We will all still fine-tune it. I need to tune their program. I do also have exams. So it's fine. I can ask any other member to preside over the public hearings and stuff like that. But if my exam is in the morning, I can join the committee after my exam. So can we move for the adoption in principle?
Yeah. I move for the adoption of that.
Thank you very much. Okay, thank you.